You are listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent Emma Hutchins, and today I'm joined in the studio by Brandon Greenstein and Lee Warren of Organic Grower School. Brandon, what is your role with Organic Grower School?
Well, I am the director of the coaching program, coaching consulting services at Organic Grower School, and I do a variety of tasks, including helping to manage people that are coming in and out of the system and going on site to do the visits. We've had a variety of people coming in and out to support that role, but primarily I've been juggling that myself with some support from Lee.
Great. And Lee, you are the executive director of Organic Grower School.
Yes.
Can you remind our listeners a little bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, so Organic Grower School has been around in the Western North Carolina region for 25 years. It got started back in 1993 with a group of farmers and organic growers that wanted a more regionally focused local conference, both production systems that were regional as well as cultural systems that were regional. So it started with a spring conference in 1993, and we just celebrated our 25th anniversary. And the mission of the organization is to inspire, support, and educate people to live, farm, and garden organically. We have year-round programs. We have programs for farmers that we run year-round, including business training and beginning farmer training of all kind. We do our home grower programs, and we have our events. And Brandon runs our sustainability coaching department, which really helps supplement all the other programs that we do by helping give one-on-one, what I've been calling a heart-to-heart, hand-to-hand, eye-to-eye connection for people to take the next step on their journey of self-reliance and towards more sustainability.
What is coming up for you now that it's summertime? I know this is a busy time of years for growers and farmers and gardeners of all kinds. What's going on this time of year?
Well, what's funny is that there actually is sort of a decline as we get into the heat of the summer with growing things. People are really excited and juiced up about stuff typically in the earlier parts of the year, the late winter and the early spring. And then as it moves into summer, people get hot and get overwhelmed with, you know, weeds and growing things, especially in our super lush and diverse environment. So I still think that there's a lot of ways that people can participate in that, but sometimes it takes a little bit broader of a view to get your head up out of the weeds to be able to apply ourselves and approach the deeper jungle and the higher heat index.
What opportunities do you see here for people in Western North Carolina who would like to get started participating in organic growing practices?
Getting a sense of what people's internal motivations and values are is a great place to start. Why people are doing things is one of the things we approach immediately in the beginning of a process to help them identify what motivates them, why they're doing what they're doing, so that if we can help them, direct them towards a program or towards an idea or towards a set of plants or landscape concepts, that it's going to really meet their needs. I think that people like to look at books and pictures and imagine themselves in that storybook, but then maybe need to get checked. So that's a place that we often start trying to get to the motivation.
Yeah, I would add that lots of people are moving to Western North Carolina, which has been, you know, both quite a blessing and sometimes a challenge when we deal with extra traffic and extra clogged venues and other things. But people are moving to Western North Carolina in many ways for the lifestyle. And that lifestyle often encompasses a food and farming literacy and awareness and community around food and farming. And so I would say, you know, at the very least, people can get involved in buying from local farmers as a step one. And then as a step two, deepening into their community. And then, you know, if they decide they want to do something on their own land, there's so many options. A lot of people have been approaching us for, hey, I have this land and I don't really want to farm it, but can somebody else farm it? That's a question that comes up with us a lot. We often refer folks to an organization in our region called Western North Carolina Farm Link, which sort of is a matching agency. It's a little bit of a dating service for folks who have land and then folks who are interested in farming land or growing on land. And then I think that sometimes it can feel overwhelming depending on the landscape that folks have, but there's always ways to create more resilience in a home system and more sustainability in a home system, even if you don't move into growing. So that in and of itself can be an interest to people. And then moving into growing can just really be as simple as flowers or an herb garden out the front door or the back door, composting scraps from the kitchen in a worm bin. Really satisfying, low risk, high give back, low expense kind of things that people can do to get turned on to the world of organics and the world of growing. So it's a many faceted approach to plugging in to the food and farming community. And I think what we really want is to see everyone engaged on some level in the food and farming system here. And whatever way speaks to them, and Brandon had spoken about, you know, what's their internal motivation? That's a huge piece of the psychology of how we approach. Like, what's your piece? Because we need it all. We need all of these pieces to be functioning to have a thriving community.
It sounds like you're both doing so much work right now, and that there's a lot of different programs that are thriving within Organic Growers School. What are you feeling excited about this year?
I'm excited about cover crops. I'm excited about managing my landscape, taking a little bit of a break from active growing food personally, and working on managing some of my soil with cover crops. And that's been an exciting little bit of a turn, instead of pushing on the land, but trying to give back a little bit more. So that's something I'm excited about. I'm also very excited about seeing people in their projects, and having the opportunity to go around and see what people are working on is really exciting to me, and continues to be exciting.
Do I have to pick one thing? There's so many exciting things happening. So we're about to have our 5th annual Harvest Conference in September, and that's a super exciting program. And we're going to be doing 2-day intensives with 3 amazing teachers. And one is going to be 2 days on poultry management. One is 2 days on mushroom cultivation with Trad Cotter. So the poultry management will be Jim Adkins, and Trad Cotter will be doing a mushroom cultivation. And then the third is a teacher that hasn't really been in this area before, and I'm so excited to bring her. Her name is Monica Corrado, and she's doing 2 full days on the health of the gut, so the microbiome of the gut, and how much that closely resembles the soil, and much of what Brandon was saying about cover crops. The soil that the food we eat comes from is directly linked to our gut health. And she will go through 2 days of dairy fermentation and vegetable fermentation, and also properly preparing grains and nuts and seeds, as well as meat and bone broths. So this idea that we need to keep ourselves really robust and healthy if we want to create the kind of systems on our landscape and in our world and in our communities that we want to see.
Yeah, and what you just said about the connection to the soil, I really resonate with that concept. It's like we could eat the soil. The soil is very much like us. It's digesting things. It's participating in the overall environment just like we are, and it's a reflection of what we're doing. And when we're trashing the soil, we're sort of trashing ourselves, and working with the soil and what's grown in it, consuming things that are coming right from our process, giving and taking, is I think a really healthy way to be. So that is exciting. I'm excited about that too.
It's always important to me to understand context. And one of the contexts I often spin out is where we're at with our literacy regarding growing things. Mm-hmm. And 150 years ago, pretty much all of our ancestors farmed, you know, 90% of the population. And 100 years ago, it was down to 50% of the population that farmed. And 50 years ago, it was down to 30%. And now we're at less than 2% of people who actually grow our food in this country, not to mention how much we import. And there is a drive and a longing to reclaim that literacy on a lot of people's parts. And you see that. That's part of the richness of our community here in Western North Carolina. And it's a long, slow journey back to our former coherence, the idea that we've lost so much oral tradition and ancestral knowledge by not being connected to these systems of growing. And so it's our mission. And I think Brandon's so good at that, of meeting people exactly where they are and then helping them move their literacy where they want it to be, and that's sort of why we have this holistic approach. We do classes, we do consulting, we do hands-on work, we do follow-up, we build community, and because we know that it takes all of that infrastructure to rebuild the knowledge that has been lost over this time, and we want these things for the good of the whole. We want it because it's good for the ecology of our community, and we want it because it's good for our hearts and for people as well.
One of these pieces that Lee was speaking to in relation to the lost knowledge, the ancestral knowledge, I had a teacher that called it direct knowledge, where it wasn't something that we had to learn or look at in a book or get taught in school. It was just something we were participating in and experiencing all the time. And we're so far away from that in so many ways, from cooking to growing to welding to just communicating, even we're removed from that. So helping people to come back a little bit more to that, and I think people are hungry for it. So it's not a fight to help them, but sometimes people don't know.
Can you speak a little bit about the consulting services that you offer through Organic Grower School?
Yeah, we started, as Lee said, 25 years ago, forming an organization and a group that was supporting local, regional organic agriculture in the mountains. That was specifically what it was. And over those past 25 years, we've developed more and more programs that support farmers and home growers of all different types. And what we noticed was there was a gap, and we've spoken to this a little bit already, there's a gap between people who want to learn from watching YouTube videos, or people that want to learn in the classroom, or people that are going to read books, and people want that one-on-one, direct, hand-to-hand, eye-to-eye contact. And so together, Lee and I formed up this idea some years ago, three and a half years ago, and started taking off with that idea. How can we meet people in a different learning environment on their sites, with their materials, with their landscape, with their tools, with their ideas, and with their skills? And so what we do with this coaching and consulting bit is we give people the opportunity to choose between a variety of avenues, whether that's over the phone or maybe even a year-long kind of process where we could engage with you once every month for an entire year. But it would generally start with conversation and then some sort of intake process that's going to ask lots of questions about what their history is and what they're motivated by, as I said before, and then moving into skills that they have, skills that they want, places where they think that they have strengths and resources. And then from there, we evaluate that a little bit and then show up on their site, take some notes, make a recording of their of our site visit, and then ask them more questions about how we can help them additionally, give them further resources. We've got a sort of jam-packed resource list, and then potentially even refer them to other people that can help them do some of the things that they might not be able to do. We're happy to work with people that want to do most of their stuff themselves, and we're also happy to refer people to others that can help them do the work that they want to have done. So it's an encompassing thing, and it's spanned from farmers to gardeners, and even I've done some just sort of more therapeutic sessions for people, talking about more relationship sustainability as it relates to the land and being on the land, people that are working from home and trying to grow things but are struggling with how to communicate about that. So it's really spanned all over the map over the past couple of years.
So Brandon and I offer a class twice a year called Homestead Dreams, which is a classroom based version of a one-on-one consulting in a way. And we take people through a whole day of looking at their vision, looking at their values, looking at the skills and resources that they have, and then coming up with a plan for what they want to create on their homestead. And these homesteads range in size from a backyard garden to a full-on, I want to provide most everything myself. And we encourage the dream, and we also encourage timelines that are realistic and sets of intentions that are in line with what's possible in a certain time frame. So I would say that those two systems, those two products, if you will, services from Organic Grower School, Homestead Dreams, and the coaching and consulting really serve to help people get from point A to point B in their process.
Yeah, helping people to take a next step. I find even for myself, and I look around and anybody that I talk to, it seems like almost anybody could use somebody or some assistance with just, hey, let's just take a step back. Let's put a new set of eyes, new set of ears, you know, another brain on this project and spend a little time considering why, what, how, and then giving a next step. And that, like she said, in the class or in that one-on-one format, we get a little further down that road. So I met with a woman who had recently moved from a more communal setting to a more isolated setting so she could be closer to her parents who are aging. And she's on a brand new piece of land. She bought it because she liked the view and the soil was really depleted. And we talked about that a bunch. And her biggest concern was water moving all over the landscape and stripping soil away and bare spots all over the landscape. And how should she start growing anything that she wants, whether it's a garden or some fruit producing things, and make something happen. And so she called us up and said, before I do anything, you know, I just want some feedback, what to do. I have some ideas, but I'd like some other professional opinion. And we walked all around her property and talked, you know, we started with talking about history and motivations that I think helped her a lot to kind of get grounded instead of just scurrying around saying, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then we went outside and examined some of these different features. And we talked about moving water away from her foundation. We talked about collecting water so that it could be used later for the garden and how much she could expect to collect from the roof and where it might go and what's happening here and why there's bare spots here and some considerations of how she might form her beds and growing environment so that it would produce the best, and orienting her to the directions and to wind, air, temperature variations in the landscape so that she would ideally have the most success with the different things that she wanted to grow. So that, and then we sort of wrap that up, like I said, with a little bit of a summary so that she could take that in. And I'll even add that she had some hearing loss, and she has a really difficult time being in a classroom environment. It just doesn't work for her. She can't understand what's happening. And so we were able to provide her a very direct, where she could be looking just at me and I could repeat things if necessary. And then we did some summarizing in a written form so that she could go back over that and help herself to remember what that was. And we just got some feedback from her today that she was just, yeah, really delighted with what it was, which was, yeah, helps me so much to feel motivated and like what I'm doing makes a difference.
That's excellent. That's really sweet.
And maybe another story about like helping people look for land. That's something that we get requests for a lot.
Yeah, that's happening more and more as people move to the area. They have an idea. As I said, they look in some books. They're like, oh, I imagine this kind of a thing. But then if they're not having a good sense of what's going to keep them going, and what's going to work really well in their life, then they can be challenged and get overwhelmed with what their landscape ends up being. So we've had some people that are specifically looking for assistance in, I'm not a realtor, but helping them assess a piece of land before they buy it. So they're saying, oh, well, we're under contract, or this is a piece of land that I'm looking at. These are the things that I want to do. Can you tell me if this is an appropriate place to do that? And if it isn't exactly the right thing for these things, what would it be appropriate to do? And I say to most people, I'm just a guy. I mean, I don't know everything about everything. And in fact, I know, you know, a relatively small amount about a lot of different things, but it seems to come together to help people enough where I can support them in places where they're having some gaps. And having lived off the grid and on land and doing growing of animals and plants and community for over 20 years, I just have that. I have that for me, and there's nothing quite like just doing the things. So that's what I bring.
The one thing that Brandon brings is a sort of observation skill set and an ability to really talk those pieces through. So the analysis and the breakdown of a certain situation, and then talking through sort of the causes and the outcomes. And when you're dealing as a landowner or a farmer or a grower with a situation that might be stressful, taking a step back and then thinking about observing and thinking about your options is just invaluable, getting that kind of support.
For our listeners who might be interested in getting involved with Organic Growers School, what types of ways are there for them to do that, and where can they look to learn more?
So the website is organicgrowersschool.org, and we have year-round volunteer opportunities, which is a great way to connect with staff and the board and the community. And then we have events year-round for every level of skill, from farming to backyard growing to those just interested in engaging more with cooking and with food who aren't actually have their hands in the soil. So lots of ways to get involved, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you both so much for talking with me today and for the work that you do here in the community.